Welcome to Breaking Doctrine, presented to you by the Combined Arms Doctrine Directorate at the Combined Arms Center at Fort Leavenworth, Kansas. The views expressed here are those of the individual and do not represent the views of the Combined Arms Center, U.S. Army, or U.S. government.
Welcome to Breaking Doctrine, a U.S. Army Combined Arms Center podcast on emerging doctrine and the Army's vision of warfare. Hello, I'm Lieutenant Colonel Lisa Becker, and I'll be your host through our 12 Days of Doctrine. Today, on the second day of Doctrine, Special Doctrine Division is giving to you, our listeners, graphic novels. In this episode, I sat down with Mr. Marty Bartram, the Chief of Doctrine for the Army's Psychological Operations Branch. We talked about how he and his team found a new way to give readers vignettes, generating graphic novels. For listeners with access to MilSuite, search for Grouse, G-R-O-U-S-E, in MilSuite, or check out the episode notes for a link to Operation Sooty Grouse to see more on this graphic novel. Marty and I also talked about his collaboration efforts and how he shares his branch's doctrinal updates to the force. Here's our conversation.
Thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure.
I think doctrine is often thought of as stale and boring, but I hear that you guys are doing some innovation within the psychological operations. So can you talk about how there possibly could be doctrine and innovation in the same conversation?
Absolutely. I think first and foremost, we have to be able to reach audiences, and we need to think about what are those changes in mediums and how to our readers or listeners take in information, right? This podcast is a good example of that, right? We're not putting this out over radio. So I was introduced to West Point's Cyber Institute's coffee table books that were done in graphic novel format. And I was like, what a great way to tell a story. And if you look at a classic vignette in Army doctrine, it's just text, maybe some operational symbols, maybe a picture, and you wonder how many people actually read it, right, that aren't history buffs. So we took that cue from West Point, and I challenged our editorial and graphic staff to take some vignettes. We storyboarded them, and they used AI to generate imagery and then imported that into the Adobe suite and basically created some graphic novel-esque storyboards that took vignettes from text and added imagery to them so they tell a more complete story. It's been received with resounding positive response, particularly from our majors and below. Little mixed response from 06 and general officers, but the most typical response is, I don't necessarily like it, but I know it's not for me, right? It wasn't produced for me. And I think if you go back to a picture, you know, says 1,000 words, it's much more positive, impactfully to the reader to be able to look at that and see the story versus just reading the story.
And then are those vignettes embedded into FM 353, which I know you're going to publish soon?
So, so it's a combination. In some cases, we took the old standard vignette in text, and then we just added a link and said, if you would like to read this vignette in a different format, in a graphic novel format, and we linked to a document on MilSuite. In some cases, we've actually integrated the AI imagery into some smaller vignettes. Part of it is a page count thing, because it does take up a lot of space. But so we have a mix within the FM, but they're all available in graphic novel format on MilSuite right now. And
Leaf
from the Pub. Similarly, we took the standard operational environment graphic, which is, you know, parallel planes with the dimensions running through them.
The one that you find in FM 3.0.
Yes, the one that you find in pretty much everybody's logic map. And again, you know, I was told, hey, all the general officers understand this. And like, well, none of the privates do, right? And very few of the majors really understand it unless they've already been to CGSC. So I drew a three-dimensional representation of the OE that would not have survived a Pictionary game. And our graphics folks turned it into a 3D rendering that actually revolves 360 degrees. And then they embedded that into video, and we ended up using a AI-generated voice, which is, I don't think most people realize it's AI-generated. It's very realistic to do voiceover. So we took the narrative out of JP3O and FM3O, overlaid that on video, created 30-second videos for each domain and each dimension, and an overview, and hosted those on Meltube. And again, we have that standard plain graphic in the introduction of FM353, but we have a link to a different representation of an OE along with that video, linked right from our pub.
Do you see any other ways that you're going to innovate within Doctrine in the future?
I think audiobooks continue to be a great resource. I know that everybody's challenged by the funding aspect of that. I think that there are ways to leverage AI tools to make that cheaper. As AI voice generation gets better and better and more available and more realistic, nobody wants to listen to Siri read a book to them, right? But if you can't tell that it's an AI voice and it has proper inflection and tone, I think that may be an inexpensive way to do those things. So I think for now, we broke new ground, get the book published, and then follow up. We have a plan to send out surveys to our force 6 months after a publication has been sent out or published so that we can start collecting information on it. One, to make sure they've even read it, and then two, start getting feedback, and then just follow up every 6 months to see how it's getting integrated into operations and into training at the unit level. We know where it's integrated in the institutional training and education, but to track how it's being integrated into operations is really, really important for us to capture.
Let's talk FM353. So Military Information Support Operations is the name of the publication.
No longer. So the revision is Psychological Operations.
Okay.
So one of the major things that we did with FM353 is we took it from a sole focus on Military Information Support Operations, or MISO, to cover deception as well. So, and big defense deception activities.
So military deception versus tactical?
So all three. So defense and supportive operation security, joint MILDEC, and tactical deception. So it has not made it into Doctrine yet, but it's currently in policy as DDA, so defense deception activities. So taking from ADP 313, the two primary influence activities that our units conduct are deception activities and military information support operations. Other activities they do related to influence, not related to influence directly, but those are the two primary. And that's what the book is built around. It establishes the role of our regiment, so our branch, and then discusses how the unit conduct those activities in order to meet that role.
I'm curious how you're working with different entities outside the doctoring community to inform what you are doing.
That is a great question. So federally funded research development centers, academic institutions, commercial companies currently under government contract, and the operational force are all organizations that we routinely communicate with. In a lot of cases, it's just to make sure that the products they're working on are synced with what the operational force needs, but also doctrinally accurate. So if they are not producing a product that matches our doctrinal models, procedures, tactics, then they're really not of any use and everyone's wasted time and money. Particularly with those that have government contracts, we have really good relationships with those companies and can make sure that they are tracking what we're doing.
Can you give an example? I don't know if you
can. I can give you an example. So without naming specific companies or platforms, there's a company that has a very large government contract in the influence and information realm that combatant commands are using. And as they are tracking behavior and trying to forecast behavior, we asked them if they were using the hierarchy of psychological effects model, which is really one of the backbones of target audience analysis and the influence process for us, and has taken target audience analysis from what it was, you know, in my day in the early 90s. I call it, it's target audience analysis 1.5. It has really progressed the way we look at things, the way we build objectives, and gives us the ability to assess behavior more routinely. So they weren't using it. So we made sure they had the product that explained it and they were using it. I think another example is, since I took this job 3 years ago, I've sent out a quarterly email to our force, primarily to battalion leadership and up. And it just says, hey, here's what we've been working on the last 90 days. Here's what we're working on the next 90 days. Want you to stay informed, engaged. If you have a question, reach out. If you need, your folks need pre-mission training to re-blue on things. The common one is MDMP. We see a request a lot for that because our companies, as we know, companies don't do MDMP, right? They don't have staffs. But when they deploy, they are working on a staff, and so they have to get re-blued on MDMP to do that. So those kinds of things, and then things that are branch-specific as well. So what we've done is initiated a quarterly publicly releasable doctrine presentation on Zoom. So I was getting inundated with requests from commercial companies for products that are, say, CAC restricted, for example, right?
Yeah.
And those companies aren't under current government contract. I can't give them that product because I'm creating an unfair advantage, right? So I hosted a publicly releasable Zoom meeting, and I just went, hey, here's the direction we're going with doctrine. Here's what we're producing based on, again, our FM, for example, is publicly releasable. Our technical manuals so far have all been publicly releasable. So we shared those things with them, and then I'm going to do that every quarter. So we invite academia, commercial companies, and obviously the operational force as well to get on that Zoom call and ask questions. And what it's doing for us is it's driving innovation that meets the needs of the operational force because it's doctrinally correct and going in the direction we need it to go in order to modernize the branch.
You guys are a pretty small branch, right?
We are. Don't ask me how many, but it's fairly small.
So do you think that's scalable to, like, infantry, you know, one of your
Absolutely.
Really big branches?
So my former branch, here's what I would say. I had a group commander, brigade commander, say, hey, you can just hit the DL, right? Hit my group DL distribution, you know, DL all, everybody. I was like, hey, if I email everybody, that's called spam. And that's how it's going to be viewed. But if I email leaders and commanders push it down, that's command emphasis. So I would say if I was the infantry branch, I would push it out to every brigade commander and up and let them push it down for there. I think that's a manageable distribution list, right? And you would likely get more involvement with the products you're developing.
Yeah, that's an interesting approach. And it sounds like a great idea. Because I think that's part of, as doctrine folks, we need to advocate for ourselves too.
Right.
and have two-way communication. You know, we can't just complain, well, people aren't reading our doctrine, if we're not also putting ourselves out there.
Absolutely. Because we're such a technical field, being able to reach out to the operator level and get ideas helps drive change and allows us to do some analysis and determine and codify things and determine if it's extant practice or if it's something that needs to be experimented with. Another example, we had a sergeant first class from our battalion aligned to AFRICOM who was writing code to help do assessment. So when we found out about that, we got a hold of him, put him in contact with the author of our assess technical manual to work through and see what we could capture from what he was doing and put it in the technical manual, right? So somewhere out there, there's an aviator that's got a solution to a big problem that affects everybody. And if you can reach that person, then you can make them, help them innovate that change, right? And I also think it circles back to what we kind of started with. If you're only producing that book and not in other forms of media as well, you're not reaching everybody.
Right.
Right? So you got to give people the content in the way that they want to absorb it.
Yeah, it's going to the customer rather than making the customer come to you.
And that's the change. That's the difference between when I enlisted in 1988 and today, right? There was no information environment. There was. We just didn't call it that, right? But there certainly was no internet at that point.
Yeah.
And that has, information technology has changed the world. And we need to make sure that we're accounting for it. Not just in crisis, conflict, and competition, right, but a garrison. So education and training.
Just like writing new doctrine is a team effort, breaking doctrine takes a team. Without the Kern Special Doctrine Division here at CAD, we wouldn't be able to bring you this show. Please don't forget to subscribe on Amazon Music, Apple, Odyssey, Audible, Spotify, or YouTube. Also, go ahead and follow us on social media at U.S. Army Doctrine to get updates on new podcasts, Doctrine Digest videos, and publications. Finally, the views and opinions expressed in this podcast do not necessarily reflect the official position of the United States Army, the U.S. Army Training and Doctrine Command, or the Combined Arms Center. I'm Lieutenant Colonel Lisa Becker, and this has been Breaking Doctrine.